On everyone, this is the CLNS Media Network's Patriots Post Game Show. I'm your host, Mike Molyneux, alongside my co-host, Marvin Azan. Patriots get the win over the hated New York Jets, 24-17 in the Meadowlands. Marv, when this game started, the way things looked was that it was just going to be another game where the defense possibly let the Patriots down. And, you know, the opposing quarterback just has their way with the Patriots secondary. But as it went on, things started to fall into place just a little bit. The defense held on, and they were able to get this win.
Yeah, like you said, Ben, in the middle of the second quarter at a point, the game was 14-0, New York Jets. The Jets had all the momentum in the world. And you're watching this game like, wow, what in the world is going on here? And then second half of the second quarter, there was a switch, momentum change. Malcolm Butler interception was huge, got a nice scoring drive in there for the Patriots. They scored twice, and next thing you know, you're going into the half 14-14. Some big plays from Brandon Cooks also at the end of that second quarter to lead up to the second touchdown in that second quarter. So Patriots really flipped the script, you know, starting in the second quarter, second half, like I said. And from there, momentum was all theirs. But this game, like you see the score, 24-17, it was that close of a game. There was obviously a controversial call we're going to get into with Austin Seferin Jenkins, the tight end over there. He had a touchdown, I believe it was a touchdown. You look in the replay, you know, in the NFL now, we don't really know what's really a catch and not a catch. It really looked like a touchdown. He passed the pylon. He didn't have control of the ball completely, but he crossed the pylon. In the NFL, when you cross the pylon, that's a touchdown. They didn't call it a touchdown for the Patriots. And then, you know, pretty much the Patriots handled business. They only let up a field goal in that fourth quarter, and that was it. Patriots ended up winning this game. Defense stepped up big in the second half. But Mike, that defense in the first half was
there was a point throughout this game, in the beginning of the game, just by the way it was looking, McCown having his way, finding guys open in down the field. I think Oskowski happened to miss a field goal at one point. And I sat here and I said, by the looks of it, the Patriots might not win this game because things were out of sync, not only defensively, which, you know, we're accustomed to seeing that week in and week out with the Patriots defense, but offensively. You know, Tom Brady was missing some passes. You know, the run game wasn't really flowing. Galissi had that fumble. It just seemed like, you know, things offensively were not clicking. And, you know, you're just hoping that after a while, you know, Brady and the offense would get things clicking eventually, which they did. But at the start of the game, it really looked like, you know, the Jets were just going to have their way, continue to have their way throughout the game. I look at the play of Cooks, a guy who, you know, week in and week out, we talk about him, we watch him, and it's like, when is he going to get more involved? When is he going to get more targets? You know, when is he really going to be the big-time player that, you know, they acquired from the New Orleans Saints? And here's a day where, you know, he was the top target for the Patriots and Tom Brady. You know, he really stepped up. I know one area of his game that you were critiquing a little bit was the fact that, you know, he's not that good at breaking free from tackles. With his speed and his athleticism, you said once he gets hit one time, it's a wrap for him. But he really stepped up today for the offense.
No, Cooks, like you said, was amazing. Six receptions, 93 yards. You know, and you said one of the top targets, other than Gronk, he was targeted 9 times during this game. And his first pass was a drop. And to see Brady still going to him, even with that drop, you can see that Brady does trust Cooks. He trusts him in big time moments. And he's looking for him. And like you brought up what I was saying earlier, Cooks is a special talent. And you can see he can really be great. The guy's only, he's young. So you forget that since he's been in the league for a while now, he's only 23 years old. His one area he still hasn't developed in yet is making that one person miss. Like Julian, we're so accustomed to the Wes Welkers and the Julian Edelmans where they can, you know, fight for the extra yardage. They can, you know, be elusive and make a tackler miss here and there. Have that. You can see if a play even touches his shoestring, Cooks is going to the floor, and he has amazing speed. For if he can just miss, he can just dodge or, you know, dive through one tackler. It's open field for him because he's no one's catching Cooks. But we saw in this game, like I mentioned in the second quarter, especially that big 42-yarder that they connect, Brady and him connected to, that led to the touchdown. He's big-time plays and something we haven't seen Brady done in a couple of years where he can just go down the field and find receiver. You've seen him do that more and more this year. And not even to Cooks. He's been looking for even Dorsett,
yeah,
deep down the field, looking for a flag or anything, a big-time play. And that's the dynamic that Cooks brings into this team. Maybe he's not going to get, you know, 20 touchdowns like we thought, like we've seen with Randy Moss. But this is a guy who's going to, you know, stretch the field, make big plays when it's needed. And it was needed during this game, especially where the offense wasn't really great. They had the running game going very well. Deion Lewis, another big game for him. This is back-to-back good games from Deion Lewis. But the passing wasn't there. Chris Hogan didn't have the Chris Hogan game we've been accustomed to. Only one reception for 19 yards. He did get whacked in the second half. So maybe that led to it. Amendola, not a great game as well. Three receptions, 40 yards. But when you have Cooks and you have Gronk, this is something, you know, you envisioned when you knew that Edelman was going to go out. Cooks was going to have a bigger role. Gronk was going to be Gronk. And that was the game we saw. Gronk, another guy, 6 receptions, 83 yards, 2 touchdowns. Big red zone target. And you needed, even though you sneaked out last week against Tampa Bay, you needed Gronk in this game.
I mean, be great about the Patriots offense. You never know who's going to be the one to eat. And I mean, obviously, Gronkowski is usually, like Marv just said, a big red zone target. You know, he's going to get a lot of the looks when it comes to being in the red zone. But you had a week ago where Amendola and Hogan were leading the charge. Yeah. You know, big game, big yards, big receptions. And then this week, it's Amendola and Hogan are at the bottom of the box scores in terms of targets, receptions. You know, it was more of a Cooks and Gronkowski game. You never know who it's going to be. You know, another reason why you don't really trust too many Patriots players when it comes to fantasy, because you can't depend on them like some of the other big name receivers on other teams who you know are going to get that 10 to 15 targets every game. But with that being said, I always look to see if there's any glimmer of hope for the defense in terms of how they continue to progress during the season. And I'm not going to lie to you, I'm not that hopeful. Another game, another quarterback, Josh McCown, 300-plus yards passing on the Patriots secondary, 354 to be exact. He did throw 2 interceptions. He is a dummy, so interceptions won't happen.
It's the Jets.
So, you know, some bad plays are going to happen, but still, 354 yards. That's a lot of yards put up against the secondary. Week in and week out, guys from whatever kind of quarterback, whatever team, whatever type of quarterback it is, they're putting up big yards and making big plays happen against the Patriots secondary. I don't see, and I didn't see anything from this game, maybe you did, that things are turning in the right direction. If you watched this fourth quarter just now, The Jets had a chance.
Yes.
The Jets had a chance. They had a big play on a third or fourth and long.
Fourth down.
It was like fourth and long to be exact, too, I think. And again, McCown found a guy down the field wide open. And they, you know, Patriots almost let the game slip away. You know, luckily they were able to hold on. But I'm not seeing anywhere where it's showing me improvement for the rest of the season. It just seems like the Patriots are stuck, and this is what they're going to be as the season goes on.
This is what they're going to be, which I agree with you. But for the past 2 weeks now, I've seen a Patriots defense look like they used to look in the past years, where it wasn't amazing, it wasn't shut down, but they didn't let up a lot of points. But they let up a lot of yards, but they didn't leave up a lot of points. Back to that bend, don't break defense. And I saw a little bit of that this week. You know, they did cause some fumbles late in the game in the third and fourth quarter. They actually got to the quarterback a little bit. They got to Josh McCown. They made some big plays. McCourty with the interception. Butler with an interception. These are plays that we're accustomed to seeing the Patriots caused turnovers. And we saw a little bit of that without a Stephen Gilmore in this game. So, you know, this is a Jets team you expect, especially led by Josh McCown, you expect this team to really, you know, shut them down. And just came off firing. You know, they had receivers, Kurse and Anderson, looking really good out there. Only four receptions between them both, but they both went for 70-plus yards in the game. They had trouble another time. This is another game where they're having trouble with the tight end. And he went off for Austin Seferin Jenkins. He went off for 8 receptions, 46 yards, and a touchdown. Could have been 2 touchdowns. That's going to be the story of the game, that touchdown that he passed through the pylon, whether it was a fumble or a TD. So Patriots are struggling with tight ends. They're still letting these quick receivers get through them. But hey, this is what we're going through right now.
I mean, it's real interesting to see, you know, as we go on throughout the season, is it going to be a situation? And I'm looking at the stats again, you know, Matt Forte.
Yep, Matt Forte. He had 9 carries with 22 yards and 8 receptions, 59 yards. So Forte had an okay game.
I'm nervous, though. I'm nervous as you continue, and especially I'm kind of looking ahead here. But next week, you're taking on the Atlanta Falcons. You know the dual threat running backs they have when it comes to Freeman and Coleman. What they're able to do in the backfield, making plays down the field anytime they want. Anytime. And if I'm seeing Matt Forte, 8 receptions for 59 yards, whew, you don't know what you're going to get from Coleman and Freeman.
But with the Forte and the reception, they contained him. I mean, it was 8 receptions, but for the most part, it was in big yardage with Forte. You know, it was the dump dip passes that we see they do with James White and Deion Lewis, but they weren't major yardage. They, for the most part, they contained Forte. I like what they did against the running game. The running game wasn't the issue. It was more of the passing. You know, Forte ran for 9 for 22. McGuire ran for 10 for 22. It wasn't something crazy that this Patriots defense went through when it came to the running defense. It was the pass. When you let Josh McCown, if I get a chance, I'm going to try to look it up. How many times in Josh McCown's career has he gone for 350-plus yards? I mean, this defense once again has let up another 350-yarder from a quarterback. And this is a no-name quarterback. It's becoming ridiculous.
Yeah. Some of these guys are starting to have career games against the Patriots defense.
And they blossom from after that.
Cam Newton, guys put his name in the MVP running ever since the Patriots game. You know, he's been on another level. And he got that confidence he needed from that game. Then, you know, he's looking back at that game and saying, hey, Patriots, thank you, because that's what I needed. But honestly, like I just said, these guys are starting to have career games when, you know, and Cam Newton's, when their career's over and they look at him, what's my top 10 games of my career?
Yeah.
Some one of them times I played the Patriots defense in 2017. I mean, that's just what it is boiling down to. But, I mean, as they go forward, you know, you get Gilmore back hopefully next week. You know, they gave up 17 points, I'm sorry, today to the Jets. You know, last week they gave up how many? Not a lot of points was given up to the Buccaneers, only 14. Is that Ben not bring defense really coming back?
That's what I'm trying to say. These 14, 17 points is big yardage, but the points aren't there. At the beginning of the year, they were dropping 30 points on us easily, 40 points maybe on occasion. So now the Patriots are starting to get back to what they were last year. Unfortunately, with the expectation we had going into this year, you thought this defense was going to be, you know, top 5, one of the top defenses in the AFC, and it's not. And another thing I want to bring up about this game that's so huge is the Jets' record was 3-2.
They won a 3-game winning streak.
Patriots was 3-2 as well. Top of this is the first division game. And you need – this is important. Another reason it's important because you got to start thinking playoffs going forward. And, you know, you have Kansas City who's on top. You have Denver Broncos on top. But they're in the same division. So they can't take those two byes because they're in the same division. So the Patriots have a good enough record, win their division, that bye week is still available. So all these games are important, especially when, like you mentioned, you have the Atlanta Falcons coming up next week.
That's a game where, you know, obviously Atlanta's coming into Gillette Stadium with nothing but revenge on their mind. Or maybe it's not revenge. Maybe they're still kind of, you know, the monkey on the back still knowing that, you know, they lost that big game to the Patriots. So maybe they're coming into Gillette Stadium with some nerves as well. Who knows? But that's a big game, especially in a season where one of the things we talked about a couple weeks ago were you saying how that whole Gillette Stadium mystique isn't there anymore. You know, we used to think teams come into Gillette Stadium and, you know, Patriots have one of the best home records, you know, in all the NFL over the last several years. But next week, a situation where Falcons are coming in town, big game against a pretty solid opponent, you have to defend home field. These games and slip-ups where you can't get it done, you know, against these teams in your home stadium, it makes people nervous when it comes time for the playoffs if the Patriots are able to get home field advantage. When they get to get against a team in Gillette, you know, the confidence we have in them of being able to defend their home field, it's not as high as it used to be. So the more these home games coming up, especially against a top tier team like the Atlanta Falcons, you got to defend. I'm really looking for Patriots to have a dominant win next week against the Atlanta Falcons for sure.
And sticking with that, you know, the home field defending it in the AFC, Dolphins just beat Atlanta Falcons. So the Dolphins are 3-2 themselves now. You got Atlanta, who hasn't been great off of this, you know, their Super Bowl loss. Matt Ryan hasn't been playing well. Their defense has been really bad. Atlanta's defense has been bad. Brady should have a great game against this Atlanta defense. So, you know, a lot of implications going on in next week's game. You have, you know, the AFC East battle. You have Atlanta coming back from the Super Bowl, and they're not playing well. Patriots aren't playing well. So, you know, this NFL's league right now, everything's wide open. This could be the game. Patriots, if they can have a dominant win against the Atlanta Falcons, maybe they can start riding the ship.
It's 100% facts. I can't agree with you anymore. I mean, you get a win against a team like the Atlanta Falcons based off of everything you just said and the record. You get the win against the Atlanta Falcons, you're looking at a 4-2 record, 5-2, I'm sorry, if they can get it done. Now, you know, like you just said, Chiefs are up there, Broncos up there, Patriots are floating in that middle right now. They're not really top tier, not really dominant, but they're floating in the middle. You get a win next week at home against the Atlanta Falcons, and I think you're up there floating around with the Chiefs. And
Depending
on the win. Like I said, it has to be dominant. Another thing that I'm looking at when you just talked about Atlanta defense, they gave up 120 or 30-plus yards to Jay Ajayi today. Can we see a game where, because maybe the Patriots coaching staff notices that, look, Atlanta Falcons is really having a tough time, you know, handling the run, could they perhaps possibly force it to the Deion Lewis's and Galicis and possibly James White, maybe Burkhead's back too? It'd be a game where the Patriots try to emphasize the run game more than usual.
I mean, Deion Lewis, it looked like he ran throughout the whole game, right? He only had 11 carries, but the 11 carries were for 52 yards. And he split the pretty much the carries with Galicia. He had 10 carries for 44 yards. Those are both good yards after carry. They're for four yards a carry, pretty much those. And they were dominant. Deion Lewis, this is the second game now where he's had 10 plus touches and he's made the best of them. And you know, early in the season, we didn't see much of Deion Lewis. This Burkhead injury really stepped him up, and he's out touching James White now. And we're starting to see the old Deion Lewis of old, And against Atlanta, he could really eat. He could really eat against them. And Galicia hasn't looked bad either. You know, I think you even said, watch the game, he shoots out the cannon anytime he runs out there. He did have a fumble. You know, that's not part of his game, so I don't think that's something we really got to worry about. But Patriots have looked good running the ball throughout this whole season, so I don't see why they would. And something I want to bring up to you, another storyline going into this game was Brady's shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
How did you think Brady looked out there in this game?
I mean, looking at the stats, The stats, Brady was not sacked at all in today's matchup against the Jets. But that does not mean Brady didn't take several hits. You know,
he took a beating
for sure. I saw Brady do, and he's probably going to have to continue to do throughout the season. He's going to have to get a little more mobile in the pocket. I mean, not saying that he needs to break out and try to have a 7-yard gain on first and second down, but he was moving around that pocket and trying to be as elusive as possible. I mean, I still believe at the same time did a solid job today, you know, continue to work and get better, but the offensive line did a better job today in protecting Brady. And at the same time, he was moving around that pocket and trying to stay nimble on his feet so that he wasn't taking as many hits and sacks as he's been taking all season long. So I think it's a collective effort where not only does the offensive line need to continue to work and do a better job in protecting Brady, and even the running backs that are in there in a couple of different plays and packages, but at the same time, you know, Brady has to stay head on a swivel and make sure he's ready to move and be elusive and not get as beat up as he's been the last couple of weeks.
Last question. Mike, Dwayne Allen.
Is his name anywhere? Did you see his name on any box scores?
Can we finally say it was a mistake? It was.
Oh, we said that last week.
We said that last week, but it was maybe. Can we finally just say right now, Dwayne Allen, I barely saw him on the field.
It's not working out. Dwayne Allen, Patriots need me to make the call and let him know it's not working out, give him his walking papers. I'll do it. Dwayne Allen, it's not working out here in New England. I appreciate you coming in. You know, I'm sure you're very useful in practices and whatnot. But when it comes to game time action, it's just not working out. This has been the Gronk show. Yeah. You know, Gronk show. Last year when Gronk was healthy, you know, you had Gronk and you had Martellus Bennett doing his thing on the side. But healthy Gronk, it's been nothing but the Gronk show at the tight end position. They try to mix in Hollister every now and again. But in terms of Dwayne Allen, it's not working out. If he's good, if maybe he's a good blocker, so, you know, he's sticking around. If he's doing a great job blocking, helping the run game, then so be it. In terms of being useful in the passing game and bringing what he's done throughout his career to New England, it's not working out.
This episode is sponsored by Greats, makers of the all-time Greats classic, stylish, and comfortable sneakers sold at a great price. Greats is Brooklyn's first sneaker company. They sell all the Greats classic styles made the best for less. Wide selection of men's and women's shoes, versatile styles suitable for any occasion. Tons of different colors and materials to choose from. Their best sellers include all leather Royale lace-up and Worcester slip-on. And you can check those out along with lots of other styles at greats.com. And we've got a special deal for our audience. Save 15% on your first order with our offer, Tracks. Go to greats.com, that's GREATS.com, and be sure to enter Trags, TRAGS, to save 15% at checkout. Greats also believes so much in their shoes, they offer a no-risk return and exchange policy to guarantee that you get the right fit in the style you love. That's greats.com, and use our code Trags and save 15%. We thank Greats for sponsoring this podcast.
Question for you, Marv.
Yes.
And this question comes from one of our viewers.
All right.
1578. First of all, he said, nice job with the show. Says we're doing a great job.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Appreciate that. But he wants to know, how can the Patriots improve their pass rush without exposing their defensive backs?
That's a great question.
And
honestly, I like what I'm seeing from the inside with especially Malcolm Brown. This, I believe, is his second or third year now, and we drafted him first round thinking, you know, he's going to be that Vince Wilfork replacement. It took him a little longer, but I think it starts with the inside. If we can really start stopping the runs, you know, they did a good job this week stopping the run. If you can contain the run, then all of a sudden the outside guys like Trey Flowers, you got Dietrich Wise, they can start better containing the outside and then getting into the quarterback. But it starts with the inside. Lawrence Guy, he's been all right for us. You know, he hasn't really stand out. We haven't seen Valentine. So I think it starts and ends out with Malcolm Brown, especially, you know, stopping the run, and then we can do the containments outside.
Sometimes I also feel like this whole idea of only rushing three, I hate it. I do feel and wished, obviously, the Patriots don't have elite talent on their team like a Von Miller or something, but I still wish that at times they'd rush more instead of dropping back into coverage as much as they do. Sometimes you just got to have faith and let these cornerbacks go one-on-one. Sometimes.
I hear you. I hear you, Mike, but when you see the lack of talent with the cornerbacks
lack
right
of
now,
talent.
The linebackers, had the only linebacker you can really trust to rush is Hightower, but you need him to do so much other things out there. And when you lose a guy, when you lose guys like Jamie Collins, you lose guys like Chandler, this is what you get. You get a defense where you can only rush three and hope for the best. I will say that a guy who really did step up this game, who's just okay, is Kyle Van Noy. You know, he had a good game. He had two sacks during this game, especially in the second half. So you need more from the linebacker. It starts with the linebacker core, and you only have Hightower out there that you can really trust. Van Noy, yes, he had a great game, and I'm going to give him a shout-out, but Van Noy's not a player you can really count on to continue making big plays on this defense.
I mean, it's tough to see. Man, D. Murphy just said every time they rush three plays, he wants to vomit. I feel you. I'm telling you, I think sometimes you just have to take a chance. Obviously, it's a huge risk because, like we just said, lack of talent, you know, on the secondary and a few of the guys up front. But I don't mind taking a risk and just sending the full house at the quarterback just a few times. I'm not saying to do a lot because we see what happens week in and week out with these guys in the secondary and the cornerbacks and safeties. They're getting killed. They're getting burnt, leaving guys wide open. It's bound to happen.
Yeah.
But sometimes, I'm telling you, as I watched today, Josh McCown. Who is a Josh McCown? This guy was sitting in the pocket.
Reading a book.
Reading book, making coffee, flipping eggs and pancakes in a frying pan. He looked like he had all the time in the world. And then when you look at to see what the Patriots doing, it's only three guys rushing. Three guys rushing. When they have their whole offensive line, a lot of these guys are getting double teamed and whatnot because only three guys. So I'm saying once in a while, obviously, yes, again, it's a huge risk. But send a couple more guys here and again. And on top of that, please, Patriots, Bill Belichick, coaching staff, general manager, whoever's making the moves, we got to try to get some more playmakers in. You had, like you said, Jamie Collins, Chandler Jones, guys, elite talent who specialize in getting to the quarterback with all the athleticism. So hopefully, you know, as things continue, Patriots can do a better job of evaluating talent and getting the guys in here to do the job. But it is what it is.
And with the three rushing as well, you see teams like Denver, Baltimore, where they can really just rush three guys, and they're putting pressure onto the quarterback. It's with these young guys, you know, trying to penetrate inside to get the quarterback. Sometimes it seems like they're getting no push. Mm-hmm. They're getting no push. Like maybe it is like you said, the double team, but there's no reason why Josh McCown can be in the pocket for 5-6 seconds. And then not only that, you've seen immobile quarterbacks become mobile against the Patriots at all times. Josh McCown even ran the ball a couple of times during this game to get first downs. And that's very frustrating on the defense because early on in this first quarter, when we were seeing first quarter and a little bit of the second quarter when the Patriots were struggling, third down defense was a killer. They could not get off the field. There were times they played great defense on the first down, second down, and led up the third down. The third down defense was a problem in the first half of this game. And that's something the Patriots need to work on, you know, especially going into next week. The third down defense needs to be a lot better, man.
Needs to be a lot better. And obviously, they were struggling on third down against the Jets. We just talked about, you know, how much the Atlanta Falcons is struggling so far this season. But if you're giving up big third down plays with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Freeman and Coleman, you're in for a long, long night because it's a Sunday night game, and you're probably giving up a lot of points because, you know, as much as Atlanta Falcons have struggled, not to go back to Atlanta again, but, I mean, the way the Patriots are set up right now, it's possible that big points can be put up next week and those big third downs that happen, you know, if you can't stop teams there, then you're just opening up possible floodgates for a lot of yards and points to be put up.
So when I look at this offseason, Mike, I say that the Patriots went into this offseason as if they lost to the Falcons, right? They went and, you know, they got in the big play receivers because they didn't have many big plays against the Falcons. They got in a Stephon Gilmore, bigger cornerback in there. So this game next week really tells a lot of where your team's at. This is I don't know if I'm right or not, but I really think Belichick went into this offseason thinking, okay, we lost the Super Bowl. What can we do to really improve this team? Now, Atlanta Falcons have a lot of weapons, like we've said.
Sure do.
And now your secondary isn't in full health. We don't know, you know, what's good with Gilmore's concussion, if it's serious or not. Who you put Gilmore on? If he does play, you got him on Julio, but you still got Sanu. You still got Gabriel. You got their tight end Hooper, who's been playing very well for Atlanta. And then you got the running backs.
Mm-hmm.
And this defense has been horrible. And then you're bringing in an elite quarterback, the MVP of last year. What strategies do you think this defense could use to really try to slow down this Atlanta offense, who can really, like I said, switch, you know, they can become a favorite to win the Super Bowl after if they can beat the Patriots, because this is what seems like teams really, you know, get a high off of playing the Patriots defense. They start to play better the weeks after.
I think something we can agree on. When it comes to the guys up front in the secondary, I think even though the defense has been bad all season, but I think in terms of the guys up front and the secondary, the guys up front have been playing a little better than what we've been getting from the secondary. Can we agree on that? I mean, it's been bad all around.
I think
going into next
week. You can make that argument, yes.
I think going into next week, it's going to be tough to really try to contain Julio. You know, they struggled in the Super Bowl. You know, they added Gilmore, and Gilmore's been getting torched by bums who are nowhere near Julio Jones' level. I think one area that's going to be huge next week, contain the run as much as possible. If you can eliminate what Coleman and Freeman can do coming out of the backfield, I think that's a huge help. It's going to be, like I said, tough to contain Julio Jones, Sanu, Gabriel. It's going to be hard, and Hooper as well. It's going to be very hard, especially knowing how the secondary has been throughout the season. If you can at least do as best of a job you can containing the run and not letting Freeman and Coleman break out for big gains and big yards, that's a huge start. On top of that, you can't let Matt Ryan have the time in the world in the pocket. I mean,
Matt Ryan will kill you.
That's just the argument and something we've been just talking about and discussing for weeks and weeks and weeks, pressure on the quarterback. But you got to try to mix a few different schemes and whatnot in there so that Matt Ryan is not sitting in the pocket and having all the time in the world to throw. We saw what Josh McCown did today. He had plenty of time in the pocket, and like I said, the Jets were almost in a position to come back and win this game. But if you let that same situation happen with Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons, the Patriots will not walk away with a victory.
It's going to be a real battle. And going throughout this week, you know, that's what you're going to talk about. Who's going to be the playmakers? Who's going to really step up? How are they going to cover Julio? Do you have the manpower to double-team Julio like you did last year in the Super Bowl? These are two different teams, but they still have, you know, similar personnel. This time, you don't have Edelman. You don't have that guy who can – you don't have Edelman, but you have Gronk. So it's different. It's a different team. You know, it's just a regular season game. It's not the Super Bowl, but like I said, there's major implications in this game. You know, two teams can go two different directions after this game. You know, it's almost near – you know, the middle of the season, kind of end of the first quarter. Big, big game next week against Atlanta Falcons, which is why you needed to handle business against the Jets.
That's why they put it next week at 8:30, you know, prime time. They're hoping everybody tunes in to see this big time Super Bowl rematch. Patriots, Atlanta Falcons at Gillette Stadium. It's going to be a big game with a lot of eyes on it for sure. But with all of that being said, I think it's time for the part of the show where Marv and myself, we give out the stars and sorries of the game. We'll start with the stars.
Okay.
Did anybody stand out to you in terms of having a great game, great performance, big play? Who would you give a star of the game to?
I mentioned his name earlier, Kyle Van Noy. You know, this was a team that was struggling. You needed big momentum plays. And when you needed the most, Kyle Van Noy came through with two sacks. He was there for a tackle for a loss as well in this game. This defense has been struggling getting to the quarterback. It still has been, but I think Kyle Van Noy, this is one of his big games that he's shown in a Patriots uniform. So you definitely want to, I definitely want to give him a star. Another star I want to give to is Brandon Cooks. You know, like I mentioned earlier, first play, he dropped the pass. And you know, I'm just thinking, oh boy, this may not be good. But Cooks, 6 receptions, 93 yards. Big plays, man. He always came up with big plays, especially in the second quarter, which I think was the turning point where you get the penalty. Brady throws it down the field. He catches it at the 1 yard line, and I think Patriots caught momentum from there. Brandon Cooks is also my star of the game.
I'm going to go with the Gronk, Rob Gronkowski. You know, Brady threw 2 touchdown passes in this game this afternoon, and those 2 touchdown passes turned into 2 spikes because they went to Rob Gronkowski. I know you're happy about that, especially for your fantasy team. But, yeah, the Gronkowski-Brady connection is there. You know, a healthy Gronkowski is just the greatest tight end in the NFL.
Unstoppable.
And NFL history. I think, you know, people are making that argument already. It can be made, obviously, with his health history. That's a huge question. But when healthy, you got the greatest quarterback of all time playing with this guy who's been putting up amazing stats. And think about his stats and what they could be if he didn't miss that time with injuries.
And he still might break records with all those injuries.
He's only 26, 27, 28. He's still in his 20s. You know, he ain't 30 yet. But 6 receptions, 83 yards, 2 touchdowns. I got to give it to my man, Rob Gronkowski. You are a star of the game.
Definitely.
But
when there's the good,
there's the bad.
And when you're bad,
on this show, we tell you
sorry.
Man, oh man. I think you have something in mind. You're already laughing. So let me hear what you got to say for your sorry of the game.
Jets fans, you know, coming into the season, everyone thought you guys would go, you know, 0-16, have a horrible year. You got Josh McCown as your team, as your quarterback. And then, you know, you start having a pretty good season. You know, you guys start becoming a Cinderella story. And then you come, you face the Patriots, you're up 14-0. Patriots, you know, start to fight back as you know you would, as they would. But you're not letting go either. You're finally there. McCown does a nice touchdown pass to Austin Seferin Jenkins, crosses the pylon, and you got the Patriots sweating. But wait. There's a commercial break. We come back from the commercial break. Not only is it not a touchdown anymore, it becomes a fumble, and the Patriots get the ball at the 20-yard line, and you have no more chances of coming back. You had a chance, but it just wasn't the same anymore. This sorry goes to the Jets fans, because I know if this were to happen to the Patriots, one, it would be major news. You know, conspiracy, fired the refs, this something's going on, but it was against you guys. It probably won't get talked about much. You know, everyone's going to forget about this play. Is this going to go down as a win for the Patriots? So, Jets fans, I give you guys a big fat old sorry.
Yeah, honestly, this was a big game for the Jets. You know,
big.
On a 3-game winning streak, they were undefeated at home up until this point. They hadn't lost a game at home yet. Arrival in the New York Patriots, I think when the game started, even the announcers were like, this place is rocking because this is a huge game. The Jets are hot, are riding a lot of momentum coming into this game against the Patriots, a team that, you know, everybody knows the Patriots have been struggling, especially defensively. And then the game goes on. It starts off great. Like I said, I sat down and watched this game, and just from the looks of it, I said, it's not looking good for the Patriots. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull this one out. You know, call me pessimistic. I don't, whatever the case may be, whatever. But it didn't look good. Jets had all the momentum in the world. And that play, that call where he had a touchdown, called back, no touchdown, fumble, turnover, that just took all the wind out of the sails for the Jets, the fans, the stadium was just – shout out to our guy Bogle who's out there. I think he's at the game.
Oh, yeah?
I think he's at the game. And he said after that play, you could still hear the fans out there just pissed because that was their big opportunity to really cut back into the game. Yeah. I think they got that touchdown there. It would have made the score 24-21.
Yep.
So a huge chance right there for the Jets. But with that play, that call, that loss on this show, we're going to tell you Jets, sorry. It is what it is.
It's crazy how we still don't know what a catch is. Like I said, in my opinion, that's a catch.
I thought it was a touchdown.
It's a touchdown. You pass the pylon. He got possession once he went down. It's a touchdown. The NFL really needs to clarify what a catch is, because as fans, you should be able to see a catch and be like, okay, that's a catch or that's a touchdown. And yet, here's something else we got to add to the resume of what is a catch or not. So, you know, this is just a regular season game, but if this were to happen in the playoffs, you know, we remember what happened in Green Bay, Dallas with Dez Bryant. Was it a catch or not?
That's so true.
This is something, you know, refs need to clean up. It sucks for the Jets. Great for the Patriots. Next week, like we've been talking about throughout this whole show, Atlanta Falcons. Big game. Big Sunday game. Night. We'll be here. You'll be here. And, you know, hopefully we're talking about an amazing game. This could be the game of the year. You know, this,
like I said, Atlanta Falcons coming into Gillette with possibly, you know, nothing but straight revenge on their mind. They want to get that monkey off their back knowing that they blew that lead to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. But like Mar said, we'll be here next Sunday night, 8:30 game. Let's go, Pats.
Let's go, Pats. You know, this they got to win. They sneaked it out. Jets always play us tough, so you can't be too upset by just winning by 7 points. You know, even the most dominant Patriots of team have only squeaked by the Jets by like 3-7 points at times. So we'll take it.
We'll take it. And we are signing out. This is the CLNS Media Network's Patriots postgame show. We will see you guys next Sunday night for the game. We out.
Have a good week.